It's the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica Blake. My name is Veronica. Today on the show, I am joined by Cyan Centeno. Did I say your name right?
Cyan Centeno, yes.
Miss Cyan Centeno Bloom. Miss Cyan Centeno is a former Miss Maryland World 2015, and she went on to place in the top 12 at the Miss World America pageant. After being misdiagnosed with mental health condition for the majority of her life, Cyani experienced a major change in her abilities as her underlying serious medical condition came to light. From just walking 8 months ago to suddenly living a life in an electric wheelchair, she lives day by day, managing chronic illness and sharing her journey with others. She was most recently signed to one of the top agencies in the world to disable talent and hopes to change the way the entertainment industry views people with different abilities. Sis, how are you doing today?
I am doing good today. How are you?
I am doing well. It's very good to see you. So I wanted to do this interview with you because just a few years ago, I interviewed you on the red carpet at the very first Miss Africa USA. Then not long after that, the next time I see you, you are in a wheelchair. So how did this all come about? What happened?
So it's kind of a crazy story because I always had symptoms as a child. I mean, as young as, I don't even know, maybe 6 years old, 7 years old. I had a lot of dizziness, symptoms that doctors would just attribute to anxiety or depression. So I went throughout my life thinking that everything that I felt had to do with my mental health, when actually it was the other way around. I had a lot of fainting spells as a kid. No one knew why. And then when I became an adult, you know, this happened within the last couple of years really fast. I started to get sick really, really, really fast. Even though I had symptoms my whole life, it really got bad the last couple of years. I had mood swings and what I thought was dissociation and things like that. And come to find out, it was actually caused by a lack of blood flow to my brain.
Oh, man.
Caused by a neurological condition that I hadn't been diagnosed with yet. So within the last year, I ended up getting a surgery for endometriosis. And I ended up having complications, serious complications from the surgery. I ended up developing an abscess in my pelvis and was placed in critical care 2 days after my surgery. And I thought I was fine. You know, when I got out of the hospital, I still felt weird. I was really dizzy. I was sweating. My stomach was messed up. I had lost 30 pounds in like 6 months, and I was already sick. So it was a lot. And I ended up going to the ER for weeks after I got out of the hospital for that surgery. Eventually, they found out that the surgery and the infection I had actually triggered an underlying condition that I've always had, which is called dysautonomia. And so dysautonomia is a spectrum. It's a bunch of different types of neurological disorders. They know that I have a type called POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And what that does is it basically sends the wrong signals to different organs in your body. My autonomic nervous system doesn't function correctly. It's damaged. And the autonomic nervous system controls your heart rate, your respiration, even like your stomach. It controls literally everything, your eyes. So like my vision was blurry. My stomach was having issues. My heart rate was through the roof. And once I got diagnosed, you know, I thought things were going to get better, but I ended up having to use an electric wheelchair now because I can't stand for more than 3 minutes without fainting.
Wow, I am so sorry to hear that.
That's okay. You know, it's hard to deal with because even raising my arms up in the air can make me faint. extreme emotions. So if I get like really sad or really angry, especially anger, my heart rate can go up to 200 beats per minute. And a normal heart rate when sitting should be like 60 to 80, 100 at the absolute most.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's like 150 and above, like somebody running constantly, like that's like a marathon. So it's like my body's constantly in marathon running mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have like a lot of numbness in my limbs, and it was really hard. I get infusions twice a week that is supposed to help with my condition, and it usually does for most people, but it hasn't made a difference for me, unfortunately. Yeah, and I've been on medication that's supposed to help. There's no cure for dysautonomia. These are things that are supposed to help the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
None of it has helped me because I have such a severe case.
Wow. Like I said, I'm sorry to hear that. Why did it take them such a long time to finally diagnose you?
I've had this conversation with other, you know, activists and things like mm-hmm. that about healthcare. I think there's so many issues with healthcare. One of them being that I was a young woman, and young women are not usually taken as seriously as men when they go into the doctor with a complaint. Mm-hmm. So it's very common for a young woman to go in and say something wrong and for a doctor to say, you're just anxious, you're just depressed. So any little issue I had, they would tie it back around to it being a mental health problem. Like, you're dizzy because you're anxious.
Wow.
Or you feel disconnected from your body because you've got, you know, a personality condition, you know, personality issue. And you know, when you hear your whole life, you start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that must be it, because they didn't find anything in my blood work ever. And of course not, because neurological issues don't usually come up on blood mm-hmm. work. And neither do genetic conditions. They believe I have a genetic condition as well that caused the dysautonomia. So those things don't really show up on routine blood work. So I think it was a myth, for one, because I'm a woman, and for two, because they weren't really looking really well.
It's rather unfortunate. I've been following your page, and you are a warrior, I would say.
Thank you. A warrior
and not someone who doesn't give up on life. To me, is a warrior. And with so much strength, and even coming on here to do this interview with me to share your story is truly incredible. So what do you want people to know who have your condition? What do you want them to know about life?
Well, for one, life goes on. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to stop you from your dreams. You know, I signed recently, I think it was like back in March, I signed with a top agency for people with disabilities.
Wow. And beautiful.
It's their movement is beautiful. Their models have modeled for Tommy Hilfiger, Vogue. I mean, some of the top people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've modeled for some of the top brands. And, you know, I'm hoping that once the coronavirus is gone, that I'll be able to
start working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, you're just different. That's all. It's not that big of a deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess as far as with your dreams, it is a big deal overcoming it, but it's not a big deal. You can still go after your dreams. You might have to do them differently. But yeah, life goes on, just about adjusting, overcoming the trauma, and finding new ways of doing things.
Where does your strength come from?
Comes from God, of course.
Amen.
Yeah, it's been a lot of that. I turned a lot to him. I prayed a lot. I turned to my husband, who's been a great support to me, my family, my friends. A lot of it comes from within, and having a desire to want to live life to the fullest.
Mm. You mentioned this modeling agency that you are signed with now. How difficult has it been for someone with a disability now to be a part of the beauty industry?
It's hard. I can remember I tried to audition for DC Fashion Week. I think it was in like February. And they said they couldn't take me because since I was in a wheelchair, I was considered a liability.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't think it was going to be that difficult to be seen, you know, as a potential hazard or as a, you know, a liability was insulting because, I mean, this is hard to hear. And knowing that a lot of people with different abilities have heard that, like, I'm not the first one, but is heartbreaking. And I know it's going to be like that continuously, but things aren't going to change unless people like me keep trying to break into history.
Well, I must say you are already doing that, and I commend you for that. And your strength to me is incredible. What is your definition of beauty?
My definition of beauty, that's, well, I think being different is beautiful. Yeah. I think that standing up for what you believe in is beautiful. I think speaking up for the right thing is beautiful. That's what I think beauty is. It's about just being compassionate and being driven and wanting to change the world.
That's a beautiful definition. Being different. Be different. Yes. For a long time, you know, beauty has, the world standard of beauty has been so so limited. And to be able to see, you know, someone like you, someone like me, and, you know, we have to tell ourselves, okay, I'm beautiful. You know, before someone, anyone else even comes to you, you have to tell yourself, I'm beautiful. And thank you for being that representation of beauty. What are doctors telling you now?
So what I've been hearing now is it's not too great. You know, it could be worse, but they don't really see me getting better. I've gotten a little bit worse. I'm going to most likely live a long life, God willing. It's a chronic issue, so it's not going to go away. The hope was that with physical therapy and with my infusions and medication, that I would have some ability to walk normally and run and do everything like a normal person. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like I'm going to have to use mobility devices for the rest of my life. And that's okay with me because, like I said, you know, I could be dying. And to me, that's worse. They believe I have a genetic condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and it's rare. So basically it's a connective tissue disease. So like all the organs and things are weak because of weak connective tissue. I'm flexible, super flexible. I can dislocate my shoulders on purpose.
Oh,
and it
wow.
doesn't hurt. So I mean, people with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome can do all these crazy things that normal people can't do, but for me, I thought it was normal because I never went around asking people that because I thought everyone could do it. So I see a geneticist on the 17th, and she'll be able to definitively diagnose if I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or another genetic condition. Having a diagnosis like that honestly won't make much of a difference other than giving me answers as to why I'm like this. You know, right now the doctors don't know what to do. And I go to one of the top hospitals in the world, and it's just that dysautonomia and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome are extremely researched and unknown, that there's really nothing out there that they can do other than just manage your symptoms and improve quality of life.
So with that saying that there is pretty much nothing they can do, and you having a career as a beauty queen and as a model, what do you want the beauty industry to know, and what do you want them to do about, you know, people with disabilities and how they can be a part of the culture and a part of this industry?
Well, I think one of the first things that they have to do is improve accessibility. When I first started using a wheelchair, I realized how hard it is to get in a building when there's not a button that opens the door automatically. And if you're not with someone, you pretty much have to wait for someone to come open the door, because you can't, you know, wheel yourself in a wheelchair and open the door at the same time. I think making runways accessible is another thing, you know, and not saying that if being in a wheelchair on a runway that's elevated is really, you know, a liability issue, then make the runways flat so that we don't fall off or have the risk of falling off. So I think accessibility has to be the number one thing that they have to fix. And two, it's seeing that not all beauty is tall and, you know, able to walk, or white and blonde. Like, beauty is maybe the person who is missing an arm in a wheelchair. You know, it's, beauty is diverse. And I feel like they need to start seeing that. And I think they are. I really do think that they're starting to see that. Beautiful. But there's still a lot of work to be done.
So to the young woman who wants to pursue, you know, pageantry and modeling, not speaking in the subject of being disabled, but to any young woman who wants to pursue this, the modeling industry, the pageantry industry, what can they do to be a part of, what advice would you give them?
You just have to do it. When I first started doing pageants, I had no experience. I was 21. It's not like I had done it my whole life. I didn't have a lot of money. You have to go in knowing that you might not win. You have to go in knowing that you might not get picked for the job, you know, and you have to go in doing it because you love it. So like when I did my first pageant, I bought a $18 dress from the thrift store. Like, you just have to put yourself out there, be willing to learn and be willing to fail.
That's amazing. So, how long do you think that you will be pursuing modeling for? Is this something that you want to do for the rest of your life, or you have other passions?
Well, I love acting more than modeling. Yes, but modeling is acting in a way. So, and it's a great way to get into acting. And I've actually found myself getting more auditions for acting than modeling. So that's been great. But you just have to put yourself out there for real. Well, like, you can't.
I look forward to seeing one of your movies. I can definitely see you in a film, and I'm excited. Do you have any projects coming up?
I did audition for a major motion picture a few months ago before coronavirus, and I was actually number one pick. It was supposed to be in theaters everywhere, but my agency and I haven't heard anything since the coronavirus, so I'm still kind of waiting to hear. I'm hoping that's a project I have coming up, but if it's not, you know, it's something that I plan to do for the rest of my life, something that I do plan to pursue for the rest of my life, just because I don't think there's an age limit for chasing kind of passion. But as of right now, I don't really have anything, just because coronavirus has really put the whole industry on hold.
Is there, I saw that you have an online store where you sell, tell me about it. Let's tell the people what you sell on that online store and the site and where they can buy your stuff from.
Sure. So since I love the industry so much, and I also love art and creating, I started a brand called Bloom and Buds. So it's like a play off my last name, Bloom. And I design clothes like t-shirts and you know, even face masks. Just reflecting things that I care about, things that I think are important, a way to make a statement. And I like design my own, like a lot of it's just art on clothes. So it's a lot about the Black Lives Matter movement, medical cannabis. I'm gonna put some designs for the LGBTQ community. So it's about A lot of the people who have been seen as the outsiders or as the outcast, like I wanted to create something that would empower them. So like even for disabilities, I just started, I have a few designs coming out for the disabled community. So that's, it's just to, for empowerment, to empower people who have normally been excluded.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. This has truly been an eye-opening and very inspiring. Very inspiring. And thank you so much for taking the time and speaking with me today. Is there anything else you want to say before I let you go?
I just want to say thank you for doing this because I think people really need the news right now. And I just really appreciate what message you're sending out there. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.